if you want to really drive him crazy, you say 12 more years.
12 more years. 12 more years. Oh, man. You know, and I am sure that this is, again, evidence for some people. See, the president's trying to, you know, defraud the election and exceed his constitutional limits. Okay, simmer down now. Joining us again this morning, we have Jeremy Evans. He is the committeeman for the Republican Party of Florida in Escambia County. He is at the convention. He was at the convention yesterday for the nomination. Jeremy, welcome back to the show, sir.
To be with you, Andrew. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great to be with you. So were you there in the room when President Trump was speaking, taking the nomination?
Yeah,
yesterday?
We were. The state of Florida was front and center. We were right on the front row. We were about 10 feet from the president, the vice president, the president's daughter, Ivanka, former Governor Scott Walker, Governor Kristi Noem, Senator Mike Lee from Utah were all with us yesterday there in Charlotte.
Now, be honest. Were you chanting 12 more years?
The 12 more year chant started very brief. And by the time that I had, you know,
figured
put
it
my
out.
Phone down to kind of get into that chant, it kind of went overboard.
Gotcha.
So it was over. So it was, that one was over kind of quickly.
Now this is weird because you were there for all the morning and daytime stuff, but the virtual, not even virtual, but the isolated room presentations that constituted the majority of the evening presentation, you had no part in that, right?
That was basically what the RNC decided to do was we were going to do the roll call of states there in person,
right?
As opposed to the virtual version that they had, and I think the original intent was it was just going to be the kind of the grassroots leaders from across the country. And then I think late last week, the president and the vice president made the decision that it's something they wanted to be a part of. They were not originally going to be on the schedule to attend. In fact, we all got requests and invitations to go up to D.C. on Thursday to see him do his acceptance. And then about 12 hours later, we found out that the two of them might, in fact, head down to Charlotte to join us. And so they came down, and it gave it kind of more of a, even though it was a one-day convention, a real convention feel.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely had the feel like, you know, when you watched the DNC last week, it never felt like a convention to me. It always felt very contrived and artificial. And
yeah.
Again, I've said this before, I don't blame them. I think it's a hard thing to figure out how to do. But in a way, I think this is an example of President Trump understands production and television and events. And he knows the difference between, you know, convention-ish and convention. And this had the feel of an actual, almost like his acceptance speech on Thursday night, even though it was Monday morning.
Yep. And it was, they did an amazing job of trying to figure out how to do things, but do things in a safe manner. The first thing they did was significantly cut down the people. And in that convention room, things kind of broke away from their plan a little bit when the president spoke because everyone kind of came to the front.
But of course,
every delegate had their own 6-foot table. And so there was distance from everybody. They were walking around reminding people to make sure you have your masks on. It was pretty much a masked event and a socially distant event all weekend. We got a COVID test. They had a whole lab there. They weren't quick tests. They moved a whole lab to the hotel. We got COVID tested every day. It was almost like the NBA bubble. You know, you get tested every day. We had to wear little key fobs that measured our temperature all day long. It was an extraordinarily safe event that they must have had tons of planning, of minds coming together to think about how can we do this and do this in a manner to still give it a convention feel, but not put anybody in danger, not just in their own safety, but when they go back home.
I love it. It makes perfect sense. And, you know, even at that one, you know, 45-50 minute kind of event where everybody's wearing masks and is mostly socially distant and everybody, as you said, was tested heavily going in and controlled, that's a lot safer than even things we've seen in Pensacola, you know, that turned out to produce no problems anyway. So very
yeah.
good.
And so I think that it was great. It was great to be there. You know, we were talking about, the president spoke for, I think, almost an hour. We were kind of expecting a five-minute speech. We don't know what left he has to talk about on Thursday night because he talked about a lot yesterday. But he and the vice president really are on the same page. The president talked a lot about his high, and you see it. Everywhere you go, you see it with him. The people that are going to vote for the president are so gung-ho and ready to do so. The motivation and the engagement he has with his base of the voters is unlike anything I've ever seen in my, you know, 20 years of being involved in politics.
I mean, if there's any, it's one of those things, like, if we could do 2016 again this year without all the restrictions, you would again see massive rallies. Everybody knows it. It's one of the problems, right? You have Biden is campaigning out of his basement, and Trump can't have his events. You know, but will it make a difference? I love the Matt Gaetz line from last night of the settle for Biden. That's AOC's the hashtag to settle for Biden.
Yeah,
you know, it's rah rah Trump versus settle for Biden, and will that work? You know.
Yeah, and I think that I missed most of last night because I was flying back from Charlotte into this lovely weather we have here, which made for an awesome flight. But Matt Gaetz' Woketopia comment was one of my favorites at home. I was able to catch Tim Scott, who was amazing. I think you're going to see some more really great speakers to really kind of paint what really is just two different portraits of where we are in America right now.
Right.
And you saw the Democrats' vision of that last week. You'll see our vision of it this week. And I think the other thing, and I'm sure you don't have time to get into it, to all this, but the Postal Service stuff has just kind of gotten out of hand. The president made a point yesterday to talk about how great our system in Florida is.
Yeah.
The problem isn't people mailing in their ballots. It's never been people using the mail for their ballots. It's just the procedures that we have to go through to ensure that the ballots are safe and secure and that every American gets a free chance at stating their vote for president.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you caught it, but on Sunday, when he was doing that little press conference event where he announced the EUA for convalescent plasma, he made a jab right at the beginning where he said, "Now y'all have had your nominating convention," talking to the press, because the DNC was over,
exactly.
And we're going to have ours. And it's true, two different pictures. Well, Jeremy Evans, he is a state committeeman for the Republican Party of Florida in Escambia County, now back from Charlotte. But thank you so much for joining us 2 days in a row to give us kind of the insider flavor of the convention, Jeremy. I appreciate the work you do.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Have a great day.